Really, I'm Sean's long lost twin brother. Why are you laughing? I got the height. He got the looks and brains. So, had a problem with that. Actually, it's a very strange gestational process. It was like 10 years in between us being twins. I was like microwave gestation, and Sean was kind of like crock pot because it took him longer. That's why he got the brains and the looks, and I just got the height. It's okay, though. I'm married. And I know it wasn't because of my looks, because my wife's told me. But she says it's okay because she closes her eyes when she kisses me. For those of you that didn't know me, you're just probably thinking I'm an old man with shorts and flip-flops. Do you have something I can...
Yeah, I just said I can't reach.
That's what I mean. You want me to move this? I can move. I can be a side guy. Can I plug in? Yeah, okay.
Is this dirty enough?
If it's like that, it's fine.
Okay.
I got this over here.
There you go.
I can do it.
Got a fancy plug.
Okay. Is that going to reach?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Whoa!
Yep.
You know, I'm fine. I'm okay. Alright, let's see. Slideshow. Yeah. Can I move this? Can I move this? I feel like one of those TV preachers now. I've got this little glass thing. Okay. There we go. That's good. For those of you that don't know, I don't know, let's see, I was here a couple of winters ago. Right? God, it was a few summers ago, too, right? About three years ago, 4 years ago?
Not that long ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Feels long because you missed it.
How many of you guys are seniors? Was I here when you were a freshman? See, you don't even remember me. And I thought you said you loved me. Okay. Just so you know something about me, I'm a school teacher. I teach 10th grade. How many of you guys are 10th graders? Now, come on. You can be okay. You can raise your hand. Raise them high. 10th graders, let's go. One. Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix. Two sophomores. Who's the third? I got three. Four? Four? Five? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. How many of you guys took AP, some kind of AP? You wouldn't have been in my class. Okay, because I'm not that smart. Okay. And I also teach juniors. I taught one class of juniors this year. How many of you guys are juniors? Okay, now how many of you guys are seniors? So, like, when did you stop going to school in your head?
The first day of senior year.
First day of senior year? That's an honest answer. Okay. Last year. Oh, okay. All right. The summer of last year. Okay. So, I'm originally from California. I have my wife's a teacher, too. I met her teaching. She taught across the hall from me. I know, isn't that so sweet? That's just so cute. Right across the hall, he's blowing kisses at me. She was not. It took me about 2 years before I even asked her out. Let that be a lesson to you, ladies. Okay? Men are slow. Men are slow. And I have two daughters. They both graduated with art majors from their colleges, and they're teaching English as a second language in Korea. Matter of fact, today they're flying back. They were just home for a week, and so they're flying back today. I just said goodbye to them this morning. So I know that was tough. But, all right. And like you, I'm a Christian. I don't know how many of you guys are Christians, but I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. And that is not a denomination, just for you guys that don't know. All right. As you can see, this is the Houston Summer Conference, number one. Okay, and this morning, I didn't bring my pointer. Okay. I want to talk about pursuit. Really, what I'd like to... You guys all have to write it down, don't you? You know, I teach gifted kids at this high school I teach at. And they write down everything. It's really unnerving. You know, because it's almost like, are you listening or are you writing? You know what I mean? You put something up there, and all of a sudden they're writing, and they turn you off. So, because they're writing, because they want to get what you wrote. So... But anyway, this is what the Lord's put on my heart for this time. And in the afternoons, I want to do something a little more activity-oriented. And I want to tie it into things here. So we'll see how that goes. But let's commit the time to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that you have called to us. You've called us out to yourself. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful thing it is to think that the Almighty God has called nobodies to himself, because you want us to know you. You want to be known by us. How we thank you. How we bless you this morning. We thank you this morning that you cleared the way for us to be in your presence. You've taken away our sin at great cost to yourself and put us before you. And we stand this morning in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect before you, who is blameless before you. We stand in his blamelessness to be in your presence without fear of retribution, without fear of punishment. And Lord, we come to be with you. We want to hear from you. Lord, we don't want to hear from me. We want to hear that you'll speak in the scriptures we use, that it'll be you speaking into our spirits, Lord, into our minds and into our spirits. And you'll open up the word to us, and you'll bless us as a group together with your presence and with the Holy Spirit, who we ask that you would take the words and apply them to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to do something that we did. As a matter of fact, I made you guys read that one psalm together, didn't I? All right. And that was me in the backside. Let's read it together. Okay. We're going to do some reading together. Because I think if I just read words, you're not engaged. You know what I mean? I think when you start to read the words, you get engaged with what you're saying. Even if you don't understand them, you're saying them. And all of a sudden, I think when things like that happen, you go, oh, what did I just say? And I remember, now, this is a Catholic college, correct? Incarnate Word. What a wonderful name for a college. What does Incarnate Word mean? Does anybody know? You know who the Incarnate Word is? It's Jesus. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, the Incarnate Word. This is the University of Jesus, when you think about it. Now, I was raised Catholic. I came out of a Catholic home. And we prayed set prayers. Okay, like you guys will pray prayers that you have to make up yourself. You know, and that was really different when I really came to the Lord to pray what was on your heart and what was on your mind, instead of these rote prayers. But when we used to say our prayers, when we did as little kids up to about middle school, we used to go to the kitchen. We had a crucifix on the wall in the kitchen. We knelt down before the crucifix and we'd say our prayers. And we said five prayers. We started out with, after we crossed ourselves, we said the Our Father, a Hail Mary, the Glory Be, an act of contrition, and the Apostles' Creed. The act of contrition was last, because that was saying, I'm sorry for sinning today. But we would say them, because they're all written down, they're all in the liturgy. And we would say them as fast as we could. Right? Because we just wanted to get it over with. So we'd pray them. And there's a part in the Apostles' Creed that says about Jesus, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Now remember, we said it fast. So for the longest time, I was stuck on this one word. What does from thence he shall come mean? And I couldn't find it in the dictionary. And I just found out that I was just saying it too fast. It was from thence he shall come. Five words in one. So, but the thing was, saying it, you see, made me think about, what the heck am I saying? Where is this word? So, we're going to read some scriptures today, and we're going to read them together. All right? And I don't know if I'll do this tomorrow, but I just feel that I want to do this today, because I think they're good. And there's a couple that, I mean, there's a couple that are like five verses and stuff like that, but we're going to read them all. Okay? And you can sit down. You don't have to stand up. If we were Catholic and Catholic Mass, you'd all stand up and we'd do this, but we won't do that. Okay? So I'm going to look at three sets of verses, and this is what we're going to do today. Now, I got till like 2 o'clock, right? Yeah. 2 o'clock this afternoon? 2:30. Oh, okay. That's when you go to the dentist. 2:30. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, okay. I thought you guys were smart. Okay. So these are the three verses, our sets of verses that we want to look at. It doesn't mean we won't make reference to other ones, but these are the three verses that I want to base everything on. Okay, you finished writing those down? Now, when I put the whole verses up here, you don't have to write down everything. Okay, you can just repeat them from up here. Okay, here we go. Proverbs 29, verse 18. You ready? Here we go. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. Okay. Now we're going to read all of Psalm 8. Okay. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heaven. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And then one other set of verses, and that's from Hebrews. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay, now, those are the things we're going to look at today. But before we look at them, we have to come up with a couple of definitions. And they have nothing to do with those verses. Okay, but for the purposes that we're here for, we've got to come up with a couple of definitions. We want to come up with a definition for lost. And we want to come up with a definition for saved and salvation. Now let's give the Christian definitions for these, right? So what are the Christian, what's the Christian definition for loss? Huh? Away from God. Well, you know, in the vernacular of the time, let's say, people that are lost are going to hell. I mean, that's what we look at it, right? You're lost, you're going to hell. Okay? And well, what happens if you're saved? Oh, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. Okay? And that's how we look at it, right? You're either going to hell or you're not going to hell. It's one of those two things. Okay? And so we look at that and we want to actually consider those things when we're looking at these things. Now, I have a question that goes with our being here, with our title here. Our title is Pursuit, right? Now, how many of you guys are seniors again? Kind of raise them high, let's see. Guys are all going to college next year somewhere? Okay. Anybody going out of state? And where are you going?
LA.
LA. Los Angeles? UCLA? Bruins. Yeah. Okay. And how many of you guys are just staying here in Texas? Because it's so big. You can't get out of Texas, right? Okay. So, is that the music that says the news is on? Okay. All right. So the question, what am I pursuing? Because you are pursuing something. All right. And that's really the question we want to talk about. What are you pursuing? Now, I don't know what you're pursuing because I don't know you. Okay. I know what I was pursuing in high school. But, you know, when I was in high school, I wasn't a Christian until the summer of my junior year. That's when I came to know the Lord. But I know what I was pursuing. And in looking at this, this really talks about what you pursue or how you pursue things, okay? Because if you don't know what you're pursuing, how do you pursue it? You know what I mean? How do you pursue something you don't know you're pursuing? So, the key here is where there is no vision. Where there is no vision. In other words, what does it mean that we don't have, there's no vision? It means you can't see, right? There's no vision. And we get, you know, this becomes a very spiritualized world, word. You know, in groups like ours, they talk about vision all the time. And I think vision means something so spiritual that we don't understand really what it means. So it just becomes that word vision, and we just knock it off. But we really want to say, just get down, what is vision? Vision is the ability to see where you're going. You know, if you don't have vision, you're in trouble. Can you imagine having no vision and driving a car, or no vision of where you're going? How do I get to a place I'm going where I have no idea where I'm going? How do you do that? Oh, yeah, wait. I think I got GPS. Right? I mean, we got somebody else is going to tell us, right? Someone's going to tell us all these things, but you know. So when we're talking about vision, it's, and we're talking about purpose. Why are we existing? Why are we here? Because that's what David was talking about in the Psalm. What is man? So, if you don't see purpose, where there is no vision, if you don't see purpose for life, if there is no concept of what your purpose for living is, if there is no reason for your existence, what does that mean? How do you live? And that's a good question. Now, I want to go back to this idea of lost. And I want to take it away from the idea of going to hell or even having the thing that I'm separated from God. But in a way, that's what we want to talk about. But I want to give you a couple of ideas about lost. All right? When you were a little kid and your parents like went to the mall or something like that, did you ever get lost? Huh? Did you ever get lost? What was it like? What? It was scary, right? Why? Oh, that's, it's tough being alone. Well, I thought you were in a mall. Okay, but the whole thing when you're lost is you are, you're separated from someone. Say your parents brought you to the mall and all of a sudden you get separated, you're lost. What do you do when you're lost? What? Look for them? That's a great thing. I'm going to look for them. Where do I start? What? Cheesecake Factory? Okay, go with the stomach. That's a good answer. Okay, go. Yeah, they're going to be wanting to eat. I'll just hang out at the Cheesecake Factory. I know sooner or later they're going to be there. Okay? That's not a bad idea. But the thing is, a lot of times when you're lost, the first thing that sets in is panic, right? And you really don't know where to look. And then you're so panicked that you lose all direction. You don't know where you saw them last. You don't know where that store was. Where am I now? You know, you have... That's being lost. And so, being lost is, you know, to say that it's just going to hell isn't the right view of it. It's to say, I don't know where I am. I don't know where I should be. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where to look. That's lost. Right? I'll give you another definition of lost. When I was a junior in high school, I took a course called Utopian Novels. And we read Brave New World. And we read 1984. And then we read The Stranger by Albert Camus. Has anybody ever read The Stranger by Camus? Is that a utopian novel? No, it's not, is it? What the heck was the guy doing in a utopian novels class having us read The Stranger? I have no idea. It was Mr. Stinnett. Okay? And we had to read that, and I think that was just I think that was the Lord, because no one else knew why he's doing that either. But that book disturbed me. Did it disturb you too? It was disturbing, wasn't it? Because in it, it's like saying, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Doesn't matter. No purpose, no nothing. You know, life is just what it is, and that's it. And when you die, that's all. It's all gone. That scared me. That didn't just scare me. I got really angry. I was scared and angry. And I had trouble sleeping for the next 3 days. And I wasn't a Christian or anything like that. I was just a regular person. And I read that thing. I said, this, God, if you are here, and this is what everything is, this is what you created the world for, and there's no purpose to it, there's nothing. We just live life, and then we're dead, and that's it. We're buried in the ground, and we become worm food. That's it? Man, that is the dirtiest trick you could ever play on anybody. This stinks. I was so upset. I mean, I was. I was upset for 3 days. I mean, really, till summer league basketball happened, but you know, to hold me for 3 days like that, that was an awesome thing. And the whole thing is where do you go to look for meaning? You know, here I'm 17 years old, and this guy says that there's no purpose to life. Well, where do you go to look for meaning? I certainly had no idea. I don't know. Where do you turn? You know, Camus is an existentialist, right? Who is the chief existentialist that was of the time of the 20th century? Does anybody know? No, there's someone else, another French dude. Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre. You know what Sartre said? He goes, there's only one thing I don't know. And he's an existentialist. There's only one thing I don't know. And that's why I don't commit suicide. In other words, he goes, I know there's no meaning to life and anything, but, you know, then why live it? Why don't I just commit suicide? I don't know why. Now, that's a great quote, isn't it? You know, for somebody who's reading this stuff and then going, well, gee whiz, thanks for the encouragement, John Paul. I appreciate that. I'll just go on from there. You know, and so this whole idea of being lost is this idea that I don't know, and I don't know where to find it and who to go to. What do I do? What do I do? Now, I will say one thing. You know, if you look at the rest of this verse, it says, happy is he who keeps the law. Okay, I'm lost. I'm a kid lost in the mall. How does this apply to me? Who do I look for? It's right there in the verse, look. What? Where'd you get that? Oh, now look at this. Now you're a basketball player too, because I saw on the back of your shirt, you're a basketball player. I played basketball too, yeah. Okay. Got me through college. Now that is deeper level thinking. Something was revealed to her by looking at that. Okay, all of a sudden, I'm looking for a cop. If I go to a cop, the cop will know. He'll take me, I'll be safe with that, right? Okay? Okay? But here I read the stranger. Who do I go to? A cop. Hey, Mr. Officer, can you help me with this? Can you get me to the purpose of life? Yeah, you go down. Okay, who do you go to? Well, you know, sometimes I think when you're awakened to the idea of being lost, when you become awakened to that, I think God steps in. And I know for me, He did. He has sent two guys. They're Catholic guys, two Catholic guys, Jeff Stone and John Barron. Still know them. Jeff Stone's a doctor today. And I don't remember what John Barron is, but they came and they started me on the way to find the Lord. That was a godsend. Okay, but the thing is, when we don't know, you look to the law. Now, you know, we can look to the law, we can really spiritualize that. You go to the Word. That's where the law is, right? You go to the Word. Start looking in there. You start looking. And when I mean looking, it's not just some reading the Word. It's you're looking. It's like you're trying to find Waldo. You know? Remember when you were little kids, you had those Where's Waldo books? And you remember you would just go out of your gourd trying to find Waldo. I gotta find him. You know, and then you'd find, okay, well, that's how you have to look. You look for Waldo. You look for Waldo in there. Okay? And you know, there are a lot of people who knew this sense of being lost. You know, if you look in the Bible, there are a lot of people that knew this sense of loss. I just wrote some people here. You know, Moses knew what it was like to be lost. Because remember, after he thought he was going to lead the people out of Israel, and he killed that Egyptian, and he hid in the sand. They said, and the next day they figured that he was the guy who was going to lead them out, and they said, "Who are you?" And remember, then he had to go out to the wilderness. He knew what it was like to be lost. I thought it was this. Oh, gee whiz, I guess not. And so he went out to the wilderness for 40 years and was lost. How about Joseph? Didn't he have a great dream? Great dream, right? And where did he end up? He ended up in Egypt, right? Was his brothers with him? No. What about his dad? No. What about his mom? No. Anybody he knew? No. He was lost. What about Daniel? Daniel was taken from his home in Jerusalem, and he was transported all the way to Babylon. He said, okay, here you go. Here's your new school. Lost. What about Peter, the Apostle Peter? Didn't Peter once say to Jesus, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And then Jesus dies. What do you think Peter thought? Where else am I going to go? Lost. What about Paul? Paul gets knocked out the horse, right? He's the bright light and everything like that. And then he's brought to a room. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what's going on, anything. He's lost. You know, even the Lord Jesus knew what it was like to be lost. Because you remember when he was on the cross, what was one of the things he said? My God, what? Why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Where are you in this the time of my suffering? He knew what it was like to be lost. And you know, to be lost in this way, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. To recognize you're lost is a good thing. To realize you're lost is a good thing, because that's the way you start to be found. But to never realize you're lost because you think you know everything, that's a bad thing, because you delude yourself. So the question, you know, the thing is, you know, he has no vision, you know. People perish if they have no sense that they're lost. They have no vision of being lost. They perish. Or another version says they cast off restraint. I'll just do anything. Hey, if there's no purpose to life, if that's the way it is, why not eat, drink, and be merry? Because we're just going to die anyway. You know? Now, isn't that weird for me to be talking to you Christians about this stuff? But you know, you guys that are going to college, you guys are going to face all this stuff. You guys that are in high school, and you guys that go to a nice public school, same thing. A lot of people that you go to school with and you're friends with are in this place. They're lost, but they don't know it. And you might even be lost and don't know it. Or maybe you're lost right now and you do know it. Because if you know it, that's the way out. That's the way out. So, lost. If you're lost, you have no purpose. There's no purpose to my life. So, what is the purpose of God then? And I know we want to, because we go to fellowships where they talk about the eternal purpose of God and stuff like that, and they never tell us what it is. You know? I mean, if I ask you, what's the eternal purpose of God, you might have something down as a doctor and say, well, this blah, 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 blah. But, you know, does that mean anything to you? Because purpose without meaning, is it purpose at all? I mean, if that purpose has no meaning, then it's not purpose. So why follow? And that is why so many kids, Christian kids, when they go to college, they lose their faith. Because the purpose and stuff that they think, they never really bought into anything because they never really knew what it was. And so since they don't know what it was, they just go to other things. That's the truth. Doesn't mean anything to me. No purpose. I mean, you know, it's what it is. But, you know, you were made to be something. And something very specific. Now, I can't tell you. And I'm not, when I say about something very specific, I'm not saying like this. You're made to be a doctor. Or I was made to be a teacher. Or someone was made to be an electrician. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that as being very specific. Even though that's, I think that's what we think about the purpose of God. What's the purpose of God for your life? Oh, well, I'm going to be a doctor. Oh, that's wonderful. Have you consulted God about it? No, but I'm going to school for it. Oh, okay. But you know, God is able to lead you into whatever He wants you to be. You know? So it's not like, in other words, the purpose of God is not necessarily our plan for the purpose of God. You know, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a teacher. Of course, none of you guys want to be teachers, do you? So, and you know, if there's no idea to really what the purpose of God is, okay, then we're left to our own ideas about what we think God's purpose is, or what we think the purpose of life is. Because really, God's purpose is the purpose of life. And so you can say, well, I'll find my own purpose of God. I'll find my own purpose for life. And you know, Solomon did that. Now, Solomon was the wisest man, right? Now, you guys, how many books did Solomon write in the Bible? Which ones? Proverbs? Song of Solomon? Oh, Ecclesiastes. Okay. How many of you guys have read recently Ecclesiastes? One? How many of you guys, when you're really looking for something to read, you go to Ecclesiastes? Why not? Because it's depressing. You ever read it? I mean, if you read Ecclesiastes, it's depressing, isn't it? What good is living? All you do is die. What good is getting a whole big, wealthy thing? Because when you die, you don't take it with you. And it could go to your kid, and your kid could be a dummy. What good is that? Here, you slaved all your things. You give your stuff to your kid who's dumb. What a rip. You know? And you look at Solomon, he goes, you know, well, okay, I'm going to look for purpose. I'm going to give my mind to all the pursuits that the mind can go into. I'm going to take AP Physics. Yeah, all right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take AP Chem. All right, oh, you know something? I'm going to take AP Lit. Not just Lit, World Lit. Yeah, because I'm not just American Lit, man. I'm spreading out. It's World Lit. I want to see what the world has to say. Okay, I'm going to do all that. He pursued it. You guys ever watch public TV? You ever seen that guy? He's dead now. He's got an afro, beard, and he paints happy little trees. Yeah, he's cool, isn't he? Because when I retire, I've got his videos, and I'm gonna oil paint. Okay, 4 more years. I'm oil painting with Bob. Okay, but the whole thing is, you know, Solomon goes, you know something? I'm gonna paint. I'm gonna be a sculptor. I'm gonna give my mind to all those kind of pursuits. And see what it has to offer me. And he comes up, and what does he say? Vanity. It's not worth it. I gave myself to it. I plumbed the depths of these things, and what do I find out? It's nothing. And what I mean by it's nothing, not to mean it's not smart and not stuff, it's just saying it's worthless to me. It doesn't fill my quest for purpose. It doesn't fulfill it. Sanity. Oh, okay, so that's not good. I'm going to give myself to all physical pleasure. You know? Wine, women, and song. I'm going to give it all to that. And what's his... And he did! And what was his analysis of it all? Nothing. Just nothing. So when we're left to ourselves and seeking purpose, because man is a fallen creature, you know, he's lost, okay, his ways of getting back and his ways of finding meaning and purpose are going to be unfulfilling. Even though he might get a Nobel Prize in physics. You know, now how many of you guys have been on a championship team? Anybody here? No. One person. Soccer? What?
Oh, yes,
soccer. Soccer? Where are you? Front? Back? You're one of the, you know, you're the glory place, huh? On the front, you get to kick the ball into the net, right? Okay. So you play on a championship team, right? Okay? Like about 3 weeks later, is it still as fulfilling? No, why not? A week? Less than a week? A euphoric week. And then it was vanity, vanity. See what I'm saying? Even if you get, like, you know, look at LeBron James. If he wins, if the Cavaliers win this championship, how many rings is that for LeBron? Three rings, okay. Do you think he's going to be satisfied with three? Do you think if he gets more than Jordan, he's going to be satisfied? Not if he has your experience. Because, you know, what's it going to be when he retires? Emptiness. Because, you know, he's been pressing for these things. This is what it's about. I got to beat this together. And then when he gets it, what happens? I fulfilled it. Oh, gee, what do I do now? Oh, I'm going to be like Solomon. I'll just give myself to pleasures and stuff like this. Not fulfilling. You know? So, it's vanity. But David knew purpose. All right? When you look at David, he says, what is man? Now, he's not asking himself that. He's asking God. Because when you look at this psalm, he's saying, you know, I'm looking at everything, and I'm seeing all that you made, and I'm wondering about it. I'm saying, God, look at these things that I see. They're so awesome. And then I look and I say, I'm so small comparatively. What is... He's talking to God. What am I that you should even think of me in comparison to all these other great things you've made? And not only is it, you know, that you take thought of me, you know, but look how you've made me. And then he goes on to say, when you think about David, what is David's purpose? You know, the purpose of God is right here. What is the purpose of God? What do you think David thinks? What David's saying? What do you think God's purpose is? Man was meant to rule. Why did David think that? I mean, here he's looking at the stars and everything. Why did he think that man is meant to rule? Because what's David doing right then? And they think this is one of his earliest psalms. They think this is when he's a kid. So what's he doing as a kid? He's a shepherd. What's a shepherd do? He's ruling the sheep. You think about that. That's what a shepherd does. He rules sheep. I'm the king of the sheep. You ever think about that? I'm king of the sheep. I lead them beside still water. I lead them through the valley of death, shadow of death. I make them lie down in green pasture. I rule the sheep. I was made to rule. It's interesting that God chose as his king a man who knew that. A man after God's heart. He knew this also about this. He goes, I wasn't meant to rule by my own wits. I was meant to rule in union. I was meant to rule in union with God, to be so connected, so related to God, that I would know his mind, and in knowing his mind, I could lead my sheep. The purpose of God. You know, even if you look at it, you know, Jesus in Revelation says, you know, if, talking about the people that overcome, he goes, if you overcome, I'll allow you to come where? Sit in my throne with me. Purpose of God. We were made for these purposes. Now, you know, our purpose, if you look at this, is not wrapped up in the material world. The material world has been made for us, but we're not wrapped up. The purpose isn't wrapped up in this material world. Okay? We are created as spiritual beings. And it's because we're lost, we've lost that connection. Lost that connection with the Spirit. Now, how many of you guys saw Interstellar? How many of you see the movie Interstellar? Okay. Did you go and give your dad a big hug, like, after that? Huh? Now, any guys see it? I see all these girls raising their hands. Any guys see it? Just girls, huh? Just the girls see it. That's because the girls... Oh, where's the guy? Yeah? How'd you like it? It's pretty good. Yeah, all right, okay. Well, you become a dad and you see that. Okay. Wasn't that interesting? In the sense, I mean, can you apply this to this, that we're meant to be spiritual? Here, the whole idea is the connection was lost, and I'm trying to get that connection back. I don't want to blow it, because, well, you guys aren't going to watch it anyway. But wasn't that just interesting when you realize that he was trying to communicate the whole thing? Wasn't that the greatest thing? And that's the whole thing about this. Here David is, looking, and he's trying to communicate also, and God is communicating back to him. Because those that want to know, God will not keep them from knowing. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth. What does it say? Seek and you shall find. Seek means like you're looking for Waldo. It doesn't mean like, oh yeah, okay. Seek means you're looking. It's like when you lost your keys and you're looking. I gotta find it. Okay? And so, it's not wrapped up in the material world. That's what Solomon found, right? It's not wrapped up in the material world. And if it was wrapped up in the material, when God called Abraham and he said, I want you to go out to a country, why didn't he just give him, say, here's the specific place I want you to go. Third palm tree, take a left, you go to the oasis out about 50 miles, and you'll find a wadi. I'll be there. I mean, why didn't he just do that? Or why did Jesus say, when he was teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, why did he say, seek first the kingdom of God? Why didn't he say, seek your PhD in farming or fishing? Well, the disciples, I mean, seek your PhD in fishing. What's that, an ichthyologist? No fish. Why didn't he say that? And again, you look at the context, because Kenny last night talked about context. If you look at it, he talked, seek first the kingdom of God. If you go before that, he's saying, why do you worry so much about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? Look at the creation. Are the flowers stressing out about it? Are the flowers thinking about, oh my gosh, spring's coming up. What am I going to wear this year? You know, I was purple last year. Should I do it again? I don't know. You know, or the birds. Now, you know, how many of you guys have bird feeders? Nobody here? One person has a bird feeder. Why do you have a bird feeder? It's because you're kind. You want to see the birds come down and you shoot them. Okay. Got that one. Waiting for the woodpeckers. Now, you know, the birds don't worry about, oh, gee whiz, what am I going to eat today? No, man, they just go out and go, you know, God's created this good earth, and this is brown, and it's grass on top of it, there's got to be worms in there. I'm going for it. I'm going to take a look. Because they don't worry about it. They just go out and say, I know my Heavenly Father's going to feed me, so I'll just go out where the food is, and eventually I'm going to find it. No worries, because I know I'm going to find it. And that's the context where he says, seek first the kingdom of God. So don't put treasures for yourself up where men can steal it and rust can make it rot. That's what Solomon did. Looking for things and where I shouldn't be looking, where I'm not going to find them. And then my treasures go. They go to my dumb kid. So Jesus says, no, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. It's spiritual. We've been given a spirit. He's put eternity in our hearts to find it. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. So that's the context of it. And this was the very life of Jesus of Nazareth, who is called the Christ of God. I mean, you look at Jesus' life, and was he not seeking first the kingdom of God? I mean, did you ever find Jesus in the Gospels? You ever find it go, ah, Peter, John, man, we're out of food. What are we going to do? Hey, I know. Why don't you hit up Cleopas and see if he's got some extra bread? You never see Jesus doing that. I mean, even the time where Jesus is really, really hungry and he's being tempted, right? And the devil just goes, hey, let's turn the stone into bread. You can eat. So it's not the material thing that's the thing. It's the will of God. Is it God's will for me to turn this? Because my Father can feed me. Can I trust Him? I don't have to act on this. I can wait for Him. You know? And so we find that, you know, the perfect man, the man who is an example of what man should be, that's who Jesus is. Yes, He is our Savior. Yes, He is God the Son. But He is also given to us to see what man was meant to be. And man was meant to be one who sought first the kingdom of God and had that relationship, that all his life came out of that relationship with his Father. And Jesus was perfectly satisfied out of that relationship. It's incredible when you think of it that way. But that's what man's supposed to be. David, I'm ruling in communion with God. Not just ruling because I want the sheep to grow fat and I want to have a big crop of wool. Is that what you have, a crop of wool? But you know, it's not for that. That's not what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it in union with God. That's my purpose. My satisfaction comes that I'm in union with God. That's where it is. And so the question that you want to ask yourselves is not this. Do you know what the purpose of God is? That's not the question. Because we can all say, I know what the purpose of God is, because I go to a church that teaches what the eternal purpose of God is, and therefore, this is what it is, and if you read T. Austin Smart, and you read Watch Me, this is it, you can find it in these books, and that's it. But that doesn't mean you know the purpose of God. It means you know the teachings of what some people have said the purpose of God is. Because the purpose of God, you only get to know that by knowing God. By getting in that relationship with God. And so really, the question is, how many of us are concerned about His purpose? We think about what His purpose is. We wonder what His purpose is. We want to know what His purpose is for me. And we want to know it beyond that. What am I going to do for a living? Am I going to get married? Am I going to have children? Stuff like that. That's all periphery stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. It's His purpose. It's not your purpose. It's not your parents' purpose for you. It's God's purpose for you. That's the most important thing. More important than anything else in the world. Anything else you can think of. What does God want for you? He wants you to rule with Him. And the only way you're going to find that is by getting into contact with Him. You know, it was the song we sang today. Give me one glorious ambition. Lord, that ambition, Lord, I want to know Your purpose. That's my ambition. I want to know Your purpose. I want to know Your purpose for me. I don't want to live tied to something that's going to let me down. I don't want to take chances with the few years I have here on earth. And you don't. Because the life we've been brought into if we're born again is eternal. And that's bigger than anything, any career you're going to have. I've taught now, I started teaching in 1980. So I've taught 36 years. No, 35. 35 years, that's over half my life. Over half my life I've taught. Has it been fulfilling? Yeah. Has it been part of the purpose of God? Yeah, it's been part of the purpose of God for me. But the purpose of God is that I be in contact with Him, and out of that contact with Him, I learn how to teach my kids. I learn how to rule my sheep. Because if I don't bring God into it, if I don't bring the life of God into that life that I have with Him, by having that communication, that relationship with Him, what do I have to offer my kids? Stuff. Sawdust. You know, stuff anybody can learn. You all can learn from a book. Right? But you know, when you're in the purpose of the Lord, they don't get the book. They get the life. That's what's important. Life comes out and goes out to them. Now, I want to bring up, because I'm going to close on this, because my 2.5 hours is almost up. Get back. To pursue God's purpose for your life should have an effect on how you live. It should reflect in what you do, the paths you choose, all these things. You know, you might say, well, I'm going to be a doctor, but you know, if you're pursuing what God wants, He might not want you to be a doctor. You know what I was pursuing? NBA. Why are you laughing? Did you know that I was a high school All-American? I was a high school All-American. CIF Player of the Year in Southern California, Section 3. Do you know when I went to college and I played the Division II, my junior year, I was third team all District 9. District 9 includes all, so I was top 15 players out of so many states, including Texas. Okay? I was going to be an NBA player. That was my purpose. That's what I wanted. Okay? I'm a teacher. What happened? I mean, I had that goal of being a player when I was a Christian. You know, what happened? Well, I got a taste of a few things in playing. I played on some tour teams and stuff like that, and I found out that this was not the purpose of God. This took me away from it. I mean, I was satisfied. I was playing every day. It was great. You know? People were asking me for my autograph. Can you believe that? They asked me for my autograph. It was so funny. You know? And I'll tell you why it was funny. I used to play. You guys have seen the Harlem Globetrotters? I played on a losing team. We lost 146 straight. Because we had to. We had to lose. Every game. It's hard to lose. But when you go overseas, like you go to places, like we went to Canada, that's overseas. We went to Australia, and we went to New Zealand, and then they wanted me to play in Europe over the summer with them, and then they wanted me to go down to South America with them. And at that time I said, you know, I don't think this is what the Lord wants for me. But the whole thing was, when we got overseas, people think that like the Globetrotters are the best team in the world, so what does that make us? No, second best. Okay, because we're playing the Globetrotters all the time. And so you had people coming up and asking me for my autograph. Now, the thing that's funny is, I told you, like a junior year, I was a third team All-District 9. Senior year, we moved up to Division 1. I sat the bench. And so to me, you know, I thought my basketball dreams were over until I had this opportunity to play. And so to me, when people would ask me for their autograph, I would be laughing because they go, you know, I sat the bench my last year. Here's my autograph. You know, now, I didn't say that to them because they don't want to break their little dreams or stuff like that. But the whole thing is, you know, I knew who I was. They just didn't. I had them fooled. Okay? But the whole thing is, you know, it's not our purpose. It's God's purpose. And when we begin to pursue God's purpose, it doesn't matter what happens to you, you are going to find out that it's reflected in your life. And it says in Romans, Romans 12:2, you will know the will of God. The good, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. In other words, to you, you're going to find the will of God to be good. Good for you, good to you, acceptable to you, and perfect. Perfect. Okay, now, I want to look at Joseph just as somebody whose life reflects him being in the purpose of God. And just want to do four things about Joseph because we're running out here, okay? First thing about the reflection in the life of a person, there was the favor of God upon Joseph. People knew that God favored Joseph. You know, you read that Old Testament story, you know, and you can say people knew God favored Joseph. His brothers knew that because at least they knew his dad did because remember his dad made him a coat. But that was just reflective of really how God felt about Joseph. God loved Joseph. God's favor was upon Joseph more than anything. And you can find out that if you look through Joseph's life, when his brothers throw him in the pit, do you remember what Simeon was saying? Let's kill him. Let's just kill him. Well, why didn't they kill him? Because God favored him. And God wouldn't let him. Well, what about, you know, Potiphar? Potiphar could have killed Joseph. Because remember when Potiphar's wife wanted some affection from Joseph, and he ran out and she said, oh, he tried to rape me and stuff like this. And what did Potiphar? Potiphar could have killed him right then. Oh, you're after my wife, I'm going to kill you. But he didn't. Why not? Because the favor of God was on him. You know, every place he went, the favor of God was on him. When he worked, the favor of God was on him. The favor of God, and people knew it. That's why he was put in charge of the jail. People knew the favor of God was on him. So, and then Pharaoh, what about the dreams of the baker come to him and he can interpret them? Okay, you know the same thing. God brings favor. Pharaoh's dreams, that's the favor of God brought in because that's his way out of prison. The favor of God was with him. Secondly, it affected his mindset. You know, when you look at Joseph's life and you see him in Potiphar's house as a slave and you see him in the jail as a slave, what is his mindset? I hate this job. I'm just not going to do anything. What's his mind? You know, he doesn't act like a slave. His mindset is not that one as a slave. His mindset is on this. God gave me a dream. If he gave me a dream, he's going to fulfill that dream. And if I hold on long enough to this, and if I show God that, you know, I will work as unto him, I'm going to find out that he's going to fulfill his part. He gave me that dream for a purpose. And he did. If you read the Genesis account, he gave Joseph that dream for a purpose. He was able to discern what God was thinking, what God was showing him. And a lot of us can't do this. We just don't discern. We don't see the lines in front of us. It's funny. You know, men are so slow. I remember my wife did this when before we started dating. She came into my room once. I was I was teaching class. I was sitting at a desk in front of the class. And she came in with a bag of Hershey Kisses. And she dumped them over me and said, "I'm showering you with kisses." And then she left the room. And what do you think she was doing? I had no clue. I had no idea. She was trying to show me she liked me. All the kids are going, clueless. It took me another year. You know, men are slow. Okay, you ladies, you're waiting for that one. Why doesn't he see? Because we're slow. We just don't get it because life is all about us. Okay, you understand that, ladies. Okay, and men, you need to be a little, just saying, you know, what is she doing? What's that little motive behind there? Is she trying to say she likes me? I don't know. Let's go out and play some hoops. That's the way we are, right? That's the way we are. Okay, now, the last thing was this. You know, at the end of Joseph's life, you see all this grace. And you know what grace is? Grace is the way you treat people. You know? It's how you treat people. So when you look at Joseph's life, hey, how did he treat his brothers after he showed himself to them? Did he forgive them? Wasn't he upset at one time to think that he wouldn't forgive them? And didn't he come to a place of saying this, you know, God had something bigger that was going on. That overshadows anything you did to me. This overshadows it. Because I found out the purpose of God, and the purpose of God wasn't about me. It wasn't about me. It was about God's purpose. Why did God give me this dream? Why did God send me down here? Remember, do you know why? Because famine was coming. Because God knew famine was coming. Why did God send Joseph to Egypt? Because he wanted to save that part of the world. You think about that. It wasn't just that he wanted to save the family. Who benefited from that whole world? Everybody in that Mediterranean world was going to Egypt. Why? Because there was grain there. Why was there grain there? Because God showed Joseph that famine was coming, and God gave Joseph wisdom on what to do about it. The purpose of God is not about you. It's God's purpose. You're just asked to be part of it. And that's a wonderful thing. That's Joseph. And when you think of it, you come right back down to what Jesus said, or what is said about Jesus. God's not after your sacrifice. You know, as far as I got to put my time in for God, I know how we think. Yeah, once I get my quiet time, the rest of the day is mine. I got stuff to do, man. Oh, and by the way, Lord, I got to cut my quiet time today because finals. I need more time to study. Okay, so when it comes down to it, I looked over things and checked my priority, and Lord, you're low on the list. Sorry. It's okay. No, just business. Okay. I know the way we are because I'm not different than you. But the whole thing is what? It says, sacrifice, burnt offerings for sin. You don't desire things according to the law. You know, my checking my little checklist off that makes me a good Christian. This is what makes a good Christian. Blah, 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 blah. Well, that checklist doesn't count in God's eyes. I mean, look at Paul. At the end of his life, he says, "I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Blameless before the law." All those things. But what did he say? It doesn't count. It's all dung. Because what does count is that I've been brought into the purpose of God. That's what counts. That's the only thing that counts. I'm in the purpose of God. The other things, they don't matter. They have no eternal value. No eternal value at all. But they do. They will have some eternal value as they're in the purpose of God and part of what He's having you do in His purpose. And so Jesus says, what? Behold, these things don't matter. What? I've come to do your will. I've come to find out what your will is. And I've come to find it in relationship. I'm coming to find your will in relationship. To find out who you are. You know, that's why when I said Abraham, God didn't tell Abraham, go to the third palm tree, turn left, go to the oasis and the wadi. Because the whole thing is God showed him a city where he dwelt. And Abraham had to come to the place of seeing this. You know, I've come out and, you know, I don't know where I'm going, but you know what I found? I found that you're with me wherever I go. So really, it doesn't matter where I am if you're here. That's all that matters. Because if you're here, I know I'm in the center of your purpose. And that's where I want to be. You know? He died not finding that city, so to speak, you know, that material city, but he found something greater. He found the presence of the Lord and the purpose of the Lord for his life right there. And that's why he could offer up Isaac, because he so trusted God, who said to him in Isaac, the world will be blessed. Because he knew that if he killed Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. He so trusted God in that way, because that's what he found God to be. The purpose of God. Now, in the end, when it comes down to the end, it comes down to this. You know, David, we talked about David. He's saying, you know, I know what the purpose of God is, okay? Well, it comes to a whole other idea of salvation then. Salvation is not just I'm going to heaven, okay? It's not just that, you know, I've got fire insurance. But salvation now takes on a new meaning. This is salvation. Salvation is God's purpose being fulfilled. That's what it is. That I've been brought into this purpose, and that purpose is fulfilled. That's what it's all about. You know, because a lot of us, we're thinking about, if salvation is just that I'm not going to hell, what's the purpose of being a Christian? But it's greater than that. His purpose is knowing Him, and in knowing Him, He has a place for you, a chore for you, a joy for you, and He wants to fulfill it through you and in you. That's what it is. That's what His purpose is. The question is, are we pursuing it? Do we even think about it? And so I think that because most of us don't, I think the Lord is saying, you know, I want you to think about it. And I don't want you to just think about it. I want you to come to me like David and say, what is man that you even consider him? I want to find out. I want to find out for myself. I want to find out like David. Because in the end, this is what it said about David. This is David's tombstone. You know, here, do you ever go to graveyards? You ever read the tombstones? You know? This is David's tombstone. This is from Acts 13. For David, after he served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. He served the purpose of God for his generation. That is a great epitaph. If someone can say about me that I served the purpose of God in my generation, that's saying more than I could ever hope for. You know? And I know myself. But this is the whole key to it. David did this because God put eternity in his heart. And he's done it for all of us. Eternity is in our heart. It's for us to plumb that eternity, to find out what God has for us. That's what eternal life is all about. You know? And so, this morning, just we'll close with that, you know. What are you pursuing? You know, what are you pursuing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that ideas like the purpose of God and what all that means isn't left for theologians. I thank you, Lord, that David knew it when he was a kid. I thank you that Joseph knew it when he was a kid. The Lord Jesus, even knew, you were aware as a man when you were 12 that and you had to be about your Father's house, your Father's business. Lord, I pray for us that we would become aware of the same thing, of your purpose for us. And that, Lord, in becoming aware of it, we would then seek after it. And, Lord, that in seeking after it, we will find ourselves fulfilled in your purpose. I'm asking this for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to reflect on what our brother has shared with us, what our purpose that God has given us. If we know it, if we don't know it, seek before Him and ask Him. And if you're touched, you can pray out loud as well. We'll close after.